And what you do to get to the metaphor is you're going to chunk up when they give you the present state. So they're going to give you the problem. So epistemologically, how we figure out what the metaphor is that we're going to tell, you look at their present state and you say, what's this an example of? And the example sometimes I'll use is like the woman that came into me with the varicose veins. My belief is when she came out with the varicose veins and she called us up 3 months later and said that the veins had disappeared in the exact time frame that her unconscious mind told her they would, my belief is that it had to do with releasing the limiting decision to have them, and then mostly with the multiply embedded metaphors that I told. So we got rid of the limiting decision to create them, and then I used multiply embedded metaphors as well. And I think that was a major part of that intervention. So I've really developed an affinity for telling stories inside interventions. I think it's quite powerful, and it takes some creativity too, so it's fun. So she comes in with varicose veins, and I chunked up on that. I said, what's this an example of? What could we chunk up to? What's varicose veins? What's that an example of?
Blockage.
What else? Freeway jams. Okay, well, you're actually already chunking over. What we're going to do is we're going to chunk up one level we're actually going to get a lateral chunk on the problem. So we would chunk up one level and then chunk over. Another example of it would be freeway jams, but we want to chunk up. So let's chunk up first and just stop at blockage for a moment. Blockage, restriction, constriction, something like that. Then if we chunk over and if we chunk laterally on it, we might get freeway jams. What are other examples of it?
Clogged.
A clogged drain. What are other examples of it? A roadmap? How so? How is that restriction or blockage? No, I mean, it might be somewhere in there. Could be. That's what I'm asking. Interchange, congested freeway, right? So what I also did then, I just chunked it. So you're going to chunk laterally basically on the problem. That's if you chunk laterally right away on a problem, we're going to get what we call a shallow metaphor. That's a shallow metaphor. The closer to the problem you are when you chunk up and chunk laterally, the more shallow your metaphor will be, the more evident it will be to them what you're talking about. If you want to dissociate them more, you could chunk up a couple levels before you get your lateral chunk. So it's not really a lateral chunk, but it's a couple levels up. So if we went to blockage or restriction and we chunked up on that, what would we get to? What's that an example of? Blockage or restriction is an example of? We're going to chunk up another level, just for fun.
Stuck,
stagnation,
stasis,
limitation. Even if we chunked our way up, and then if we chunked sideways on that, we said, what are other examples of limitation or stasis? Or we could pick one of those. I would pick one. What's another example of stasis or stagnation? Could be ambivalence, could be, sure. So now we're getting further away from the problem, aren't we? It would be, if we tell a metaphor up in this range, it's going to be far less evident to the conscious mind what we're talking about. What that'll do is, if it's less evident to the conscious mind, that'll cause the unconscious mind to search more for the meaning. Right? Now, why a metaphor works is because it works in an inductive way where they're coming to their own solutions. This is why I love them so much, because when they come to the solutions in an inductive way, they'll own it more. It'll be theirs. That's when you get not just 10% change or 20% change or 30% change, that's where you get 100% change, where they've changed at the unconscious level because they've come to this major life conclusion on their own. So, depending upon what you want to do with the metaphor, depending upon what the goal is that you want to achieve with the metaphor, you're going to chunk differently. You can either chunk up one level and then ask, what are other examples of this? Or you could chunk up two or three levels and ask, what are other examples of this? The closer it is to the problem you are, the more evident it will be what the metaphor is about. Make sense? Yeah. So, if you only chunk up one level and then chunk laterally, it's going to be more evident what the metaphor is about than if you were to chunk up two or three levels. Okay, now there's the shallowest metaphor, there's a difference between deep and shallow metaphor. The most shallow metaphor you could tell would be an analogy. Where like Martin Luther King talked in analogies when he said, we're coming through the tunnel of oppression and we're going to break out onto the daybreak of a new brotherhood.
And then chunk up on that one. How would you do it?
Well, that's just analogy. So that's not a therapeutic metaphor. Hold on. That's just an analogy. That's not a therapeutic metaphor. So he's not looking to do therapy on somebody. He's just using an example and relating it to something else. So that's extremely shallow. That wouldn't even fit inside the model that we're looking at. We're just looking at that and saying, hey, that's one example. So analogy would be the most shallow type of metaphor you could possibly have. Then from a therapeutic context, this, if you chunked up one level and then chunked laterally, we would get some level of shallow metaphor. But if you chunk up a couple levels, you get a very deep, what we call a deep metaphor, where the unconscious mind has to really go in and search for what the heck are they talking about. Okay, now if we throw in some, like throw a bone here and there, like maybe throw in the name of somebody that's in their family inside that metaphor and attribute it to something else, or throw in one of their passions or something, like make one of the characters in the metaphor be interested in something that the person's interested in. What that does is it caused them, because the metaphor is told over here and is dissociated, isn't it? But that when you throw in a little piece here or there, that causes them to loop up and search and go, hey, relate. Is he talking about me? Well, that's what I like. What that does is it causes them to search to associate to that metaphor, which becomes hypnotic. So you can throw in things from their life up here inside when you're telling the metaphor that relate to them. And if you do it really deep, they won't make the conscious connection at first. Yeah? Yeah.
Because I really want to do this.
Yes, I know you do.
I know. So I'm going to ask you how. I just want to know.
Okay.
Can you give me three different...
Let me tell you the best way to do this.
No, you can say it. Is there anything else?
Here's the best way to do this.
No. So what I'm asking is this. Is, can you give an example of something that's, like, for example, the Star Trek one?
Right. Jeez. And you could do that while you dance and chew gum. Yeah. Let's see. What's that? And make margaritas. No, let's see. So if I don't know if I'm going to do this exactly the way you're asking me to, because it'll take us too far off track. But so Milton Erickson goes into the hospital and he talks to the woman about, or the woman comes to Milton Erickson for weight loss. And he doesn't talk to her about weight loss at all. He sits there inside the session, and he's talking about gardening. Now, she loves to garden, right? So what a coincidence. Why do you think he was talking about gardening? Because she loves to garden. And he's just going left and right, and he's like, yeah, and the sun shines down in on the garden. And he's maybe using some Milton model patterns, though he probably wasn't thinking of them as Milton model patterns. He's just speaking vaguely and ambiguously. Then he sees her kind of glaze over, and he's talking a little bit more, and you know, and the worms, talking about the worms, and then maybe he goes more abstract about, you know, I wonder if one of your hands is feeling more light than the other, and so on and so forth. Most people can experience one hand as being lighter than the other. He might use Milton model patterns, and he's just talking back and forth. Then he might say, yeah, and as I garden in the garden, I love to garden and work with the tomatoes are some of my favorite things. Well, the zucchini, I like the zucchini as well. Because, you know, you can get some pretty nice sized zucchini out here in Washington. But the interesting thing is like the tomatoes, which are my favorite, like the tomatoes, you know, each tomato knows, like they know how to take in the right amount of nutrients for that kind of tomato, you know. I don't know if you, I mean... garden much with tomatoes. Do you have tomatoes in your garden? You know, they like each tomato knows how to take in the right amount of nutrients of water and so on and so forth to grow to the perfect size for that type of tomato. And they just know it's innate. It's part of who they are, part of, you know, tomatoes. And it'll be talking on, and then he'll be off on another subject, and so he talked to her about the tomatoes in the garden that knew how to take in the right amount of nutrients and didn't have to think about it, just started, you know, just took it in. Now that that's one level of metaphor. At what level is that metaphor? That's tough to say. If you could come to that metaphor by chunking up, weight loss is an example of what? Or let's take overweight. Say her problem is that she thinks she's overweight. What's that a problem of? That's an example. I'm sorry. What's that an example of? It could be an example of overeating, right? What's that? No exercise. What's another example of overeating? Let's go with that one. You go to obesity. At some level, you could see where he might have come up with the tomatoes, and they just knowing that perfect knowing that. So I could see where he would come up with that from that model. Now he could have chunked up. What's the overeating example of?
Stress. Overindulgence.
Hoarding. Excess. Hoarding.
Limiting
decision or fear. It could be examples of any of those things. And then you say, what are other examples of excess or hoarding? Could be like a tomato that hoards too much food. But tomatoes don't hoard too much food. They know the right amount of nutrients to take in. They don't think, I'm going to hoard all this. You know, tomatoes don't think like that. So what he does is he takes an example of, he's chunked up to, let's say, chunked up to hoarding or doing to excess. And then he thinks, what's she like? And he says, gardening. So he starts talking about the tomatoes in his own garden and how they, so what you do, what you'll often do inside the metaphor is you'll pace them to the resources that they need that will bring them over to the resolution. So the character, or whoever it is inside the metaphor, is going to find the resources they need that take them to the solution or to the desired state. Now, that's one of many metaphors that he might have told. He might have told three or four metaphors about other things as well. I'm not going to chunk up several levels on a metaphor because I...
Yeah.
No. Because, no, I mean, you're stretching my brain too much for this, and we'll spend too much time on this. We need to move on to multiply embedded metaphors. Yeah. So what you want to do is just chunk up and then paste them over to resources inside that metaphor. Okay, it's kind of like when I did the varicose veins. I chunked up on varicose veins. I got restriction or blockage. I said, what are other examples of this? This woman liked gardening as well. So I said, well, when my father in Tahoe taught me how to garden, I remember there used to be kinks in the hose and the flow would stop. So I'd be out there gardening and all of a sudden it just stops. And I was confused because I didn't know what was going on. And I don't know if you've ever been confused like that, not knowing what was happening. And then, by the way, I had her in a nice trance when I started telling these stories. And then I said, so my father had me trace the kinks in the hose. He says, all you got to do is find the places where it's blocked up. And I went back at the hose and I unkinked one section and some water began to flow. And I went back and I unkinked another section and some water began to flow. Unkinked another section and then all the water started to rush through the hose. And then I told her some other metaphors about some areas, because when she got the limiting decision to create the varicose veins was what happened when she had blockage within the relationships in her life. She got this. So we went back to release the limiting decision first, and she got that the reason she had created the varicose veins, the grander purpose for it, was because it was a metaphor for what she was doing in other aspects of her life, where she was blocking relationships with her children, with her family. She wasn't communicating. So the varicose veins became a metaphor for that. She got the learnings that she was supposed to open up relationships with her family. So I used those learnings inside my metaphors. So I the first metaphor that I did in my multiply embedded metaphors was I told her,